Pete Shepard Show with Pete Shepard on Patriots.com Radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own one-yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught! 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance. A 99-yard touchdown play. How about that?
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Well, hey there, and what's happening? Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. And man, oh man, what a great show we got lined up for you today. In addition to talking about the big game coming up this Sunday, big divisional contest. Can the Patriots make it, 18 in a row? Or whatever it is. Brady 17-1 against Buffalo. Bills 2-0. Got lots to talk about with that game coming up. Injuries to tell you about, with the Patriots, some new signings. John Murphy, play-by-play man for the Buffalo Bills, joined me in just a few minutes, and CSNNE's Tommy Curran will join me as well a little bit later on in the show. Tommy's always very, very entertaining. Just to get you up to date, again, in case you don't know, today at practice, tight end Aaron Hernandez, safety Patrick Chung, cornerback Kyle Arrington, offensive lineman Sebastian Vollmer, defensive lineman Mike Wright, missing from the media portion of the workout, and the injury report is, it's not out, it should be out momentarily.
As soon as I get it in my inbox, I'll bring it in.
Okay, thank you. And that should be, I think we pretty much know, as I said, limited participation. We know also that Dan Copen and Myron Pryor placed on IR, so their season, unfortunately, are over. And they also signed cornerback Phillip Adams and defensive lineman Landon Cohen. So it's what's shaping up to be, again, it's... To me, it's not tough to call. And this is one of those games where I know people will try to overhype the popularity of the Buffalo Bills. And, it's tough to say that this game is going to be competitive. It really is from my heart of heart. Like, I knew the Miami game, I felt it, and I said it. I thought that game would be competitive down there, that game. I really did. And it was for a little while. And, the score, as I said, went exactly how I thought. Patriots pulled away in the end, and won the game. This game, I still in this stadium, and I was just talking to John Rook about this. I know we talk about how every year is different, every season, every game is different, but there's definitely something to the Patriots going to Buffalo, with the exception of the Loyal Malloy 1 year time in 2003. They go in there and they just, I don't know. They just annihilate the Bills in Buffalo. What can I tell you? They've killed them over the years down there, for the most part. And I'm not going to say they're going to win 50-10 on Sunday, but I think they're going to win pretty comfortably. I really do. And again, it could be one of those games where Fitzpatrick looks like he has decent numbers, because everybody throws for 300 yards now in the NFL, whether people want to believe that or not. Most people do. A lot of teams do. And I could see that game easily being, 42-20, 35-17, something like that. I could see that. I'm not saying the Patriots can go there and shut up. Well, last year, remember Fitzpatrick last year had a great game here, early on against the Patriots in Foxborough. And that's where the Bills have been tough. They've been tough here. Patriots have not been tough on their home field against the Patriots. So it was 38-30 here last year, and then the Patriots annihilate them in Buffalo at the end of the year, 34-3, and Fitzpatrick was terrible in that game. He had four turnovers, two picks, two fumbles. But that's why they play the games. As I was saying, last year I don't think anybody on the planet thought they were going to lose to Cleveland, and then Cleveland, played the Jets tough, and the Jets have barely squeaked out on an overtime. And that's why they play the games. It's not Yahoo. This is just one of those games that I just don't think in the end is going to be all that competitive. That's all. Maybe I'm dead wrong, but I'm pretty good at getting a feel of what the Patriots are capable of in certain games and certain venues. And this one does not frighten me at all. I mean, now, you take into consideration, you fumble a kickoff, you get a field goal blast, unless they get completely complacent and go in there and play like duds, which I just don't see happening. That's a different story, but I really don't see that. Because I don't see, even without Hernandez in the game, I think the Patriots just have way too many weapons for this team. Way too many. And I know people are going to go crazy this week. A lot of people are going to go crazy about Freddie Jackson being able to run the ball. And, you know, I'm more concerned. I'm not so much concerned about him. I'm more concerned about, you know, the Donald Joneses, Steve Johnsons, and Scott Chandler, who's having a nice season so far after two games. I mean, guys like Scott Chandler are, you know, could be tough. And even though they shut down Gates last week, you know, Fasano had some brilliant catches against them in the Miami game, even though one was spectacular, one-handed. So the Bills have put up more points actually than the Patriots so far in two games. But you got to go back and go look at those. Go look at the highlights of the game against Kansas City. I mean, is that an NFL team, the Chiefs? I'm not really sure. And the Chiefs were even more pathetic against Detroit this past week. And the Raiders, who the hell can figure the Raiders out? They look good for one quarter, and then they just crap out. So I'm just telling you, when I look at this game, and I've gone back and forth on it all day, and last night too, looking at some different things. And you know, can Buffalo be competitive for a while? Yeah. You know, it would shock me if they jump out to a 3-0 lead, maybe even a 7-0 lead. Nah, wouldn't bother me. Same thing with Miami. I just think there's going to be one of those games where you're never going to actually believe it's in doubt. You know? Now, what I do think is interesting, and I think it's something you have not seen in a Bills team in a while. They did go 4-12 last year. But, I mean, down 21-3 to Oakland this past week, and they showed a lot of heart coming back. I mean, a lot of those Bills teams in the past would have quit and lost 52-10, but they didn't. I mean, they came back, and they scored, touchdowns on their last five possessions. So that's something to be said for Chan Gailey's crew. You know? So that's something. We're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette, but again, it was against the Raiders. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. That is the number. John Murphy, Buffalo Bills play-by-play man, will join me in a little bit. And later on, Tommy Curran of CSNNE will join me as well. If he has some different thoughts. And I'm wondering if people put in some thought into what I said yesterday about a lot of spectacular offenses in the NFL. Or how the evolution of the game is going to, I mean, you cannot start judging. Here's another perfect example today. If we look at the stupid net yardage numbers, there they are, the Patriots, dead last in the NFL, but when it goes to points allowed, and again, it's only week two, they're 14th. So what number you think is more valuable, points allowed or net yardage stats? And I've always been one that points allowed, to me, is much more important. And even 14th isn't that spectacular. I mean, they finished in the top 8 or 9 last year. Like I said, they allowed 19 points a game, and the Jets 19.6 points a game. The Jets allowed 19. So, you know, the Jets statistically were third, the Patriots were 25th. So, I mean, what does net yardage stats really mean? In a lot of instances, it doesn't mean a lot. I think it's the most overrated stat in real life football. Fantasy football, different story. Real life football, I think net yardage stats are entirely overrated. I think you look at turnovers. I think you look at red zone defense and red zone offense. And yes, right now, red zone defense for the Patriots isn't that good right now, either after two games. However, they have 72% on red zone defense, but that's going to improve. You know that's going to improve. But they still only allowed the Chargers 21 points, and the defense came up huge when they had to. And people want to just dismiss that. And they keep throwing out terms like, well, if the, quote unquote, I have my fingers in quotations, well, if the defense doesn't come up with big plays, but they do every single game, it seems. Every single game. You know, the net yardage stats may not be there right now, but that doesn't mean it's going to improve. I'm hearing, and I still hear, it's just people want to paint blanket statements. And not just the Patriots, with a lot of these teams after week two. And the media, some of the national media people are just so absurd. And they get so obsessed so early. And I just think I really think national media people think fans are really stupid. You know, in a lot of ways. They paint this huge brush one way or the other. Like I said, it's black or white, you know, no gray area, simply pass or fail, no matter what team. You know, Cam Newton's already in the Hall of Fame. You know, usually I've heard the word great used with Cam Newton. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Great is Tom Brady. Great is Peyton Manning. Great is Aaron Rodgers right now. Drew Brees. That's great. But, you know, some of the terms the national media use after week two. I mean, and I, you know, whatever year I said the same thing, and I shouldn't be astounded anymore. All right, let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now and check in with Buffalo Bills play-by-play man John Murphy. Hey, Murph, how you doing? Thanks for taking some time out on the Pete Shepard Show. How are you?
I'm good, Pete. You mean Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't great yet either? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he did go to Harvard. He's a Harvard man.
I don't know if Ryan's great, but he's played awfully great the first couple of weeks.
He sure has. And, you know, I was saying, and I'm not sure what to make yet of this Buffalo Bills team, but I do know this, John, and you probably can back it up. You've seen them a lot of years now. And I'm not sure last year they come back from a 21-3 deficit. So that shows me that at least they have a lot of guts and a lot of heart.
Yeah. You know what? You're right, and they demonstrated, and even Fitzpatrick said that after the game. He said, point blank, last year we lose that game, you know. You know what was interesting about that game too, Pete? It was one of the best games I've ever been around, let alone broadcast. Not only did they come back from 18 points down, the Raiders kept fighting back too, and it was back and forth the entire, I mean, there were five lead changes mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter alone. I mean, it was punch, counter punch, and neither team would back down, which made it, I thought, a tremendous game. And you're right, they lost a lot of close ones last year. I mean, they were 0-8 last year at midseason, kind of got their act together finally in the second half, lost some really heartbreaking games to Baltimore in overtime and to Pittsburgh in overtime, two really quality teams. And they demonstrated the other day that they have grown up a lot. Are they ready to take on the Patriots? Well, we'll find out Sunday at 1.
Well, one guy who's always seemed to give the Patriots fits is, and I hate to see any player really get injured, but Roscoe Parrish is out for the year. That's a huge loss on special teams. A guy that has given the Patriots fits in the past.
Yeah, you know what? It's tough for Roscoe too because he missed half a season last year. He broke his wrist in a game last season up in Toronto, and then you know just played the couple of games this year. He had an injury that kind of hampered him throughout this training camp. He's an explosive player. He adds a dynamic dimension to their offense that really they don't get from anywhere else. You know, they tried to and have tried over the last few years to find a role for him, to move him into the slot and to get him to sort of be I'm not going to compare to Wes Welker because he's different than Welker, but at least kind of playing that third down role and a guy who's very difficult to cover and he just can't stay in the field. And I know it's very frustrating for the Bills that not to have Roscoe again for the rest of this year.
Well, I'm not a big fantasy football guy, but I got to tell you, Freddie Jackson leading the league right now in rushing and everything and looking like the best running back in the league, but surprising you at all that he's been this dominant so far?
You know, I'm surprised. I've been surprised by Freddie for a couple of years, you know, and you know the backstory. He came in as an undrafted free agent out of Coe College in Iowa. He had to go and play in Europe for a while. He played arena football. He came in, I'll never forget when he came into one of the, back in the days when they used to have spring mini camps before this year. He came into a mini camp and he had just got off the plane from Europe after playing in NFL Europe and he looked exhausted and I was talking to him and somebody said this guy's from Marv Levy's college, Coe College, and we were talking about that. But I mean, he played basically that first year, he played about 12 months straight of football. There was no downtime. And once he got his legs underneath him, not that year, but the following year, and once they saw what he could do, it's always gratifying for me to see players get better. And I don't think I've ever, in the 25 years or so that I've been around the Buffalo Bills, I don't think I've ever seen a player improve as much as Fred Jackson has from when he first arrived on the scene. He leads the league in rushing. I don't know. Maybe he'll be there at the end of the year, but he'll just do everything for this team. You know, he blocks, he picks up the blitz, he lines split out wide and go downfield and catch passes, runs the ball hard between the tackles. He just does everything for this team. And I think he's been the most valuable player on their offense, and quite frankly, a struggling offense at times, but really the most valuable player on their offense for a couple of years.
Talk to me again a little bit before we get to some of the other players about Ryan Fitzpatrick and what have you seen? I know, again, small sampling early on, two games, but what is different about him this year as opposed to last year?
I don't know. Just, I think, a familiarity with the offense, a comfort level in the offense. The second half last week against the Raiders, the play calls from Chan Gailey and the execution by Fitzpatrick were almost flawless. You know, I mean, I was kidding Fitzpatrick about it in the locker room Monday about like the Vulcan mind meld that he appears to have with Chan Gailey, which I guess he didn't have last year. You know, he didn't go to training camp as the starter a year ago. Trent Edwards was the starter, and he didn't start until the third game of the season a year ago. This year, he's had the entire off season, whatever there was of it, to prepare as the starter and to become the leader of this team, which I really think he did become become a very good leader of this team during the lockout when he had, you know, he had workouts with some of the skill position players out west at his home in Arizona and did the same thing here in Western New York during the lockout. I mean, he's more of a leader. He has, I think, total command and comfort in the offense. He's a little bit bigger than he was when he arrived on the scene a couple of years ago, I think, to take the pounding that'll take. He's gotten better, too, obviously, over the last few years.
The guy I've been and what I've seen from watching the Red Zone channel and some of the other highlights and everything else, but I tell you what, I'm a big tight end fan in general. But Scott Chandler is a fun player to watch as well. He's having a fantastic year so far.
Yeah, good start. Three touchdown catches. Here's a guy who came out of nowhere. The Bills did a good job in the middle of last year of roster building, you know, when it was apparent they weren't going anywhere last year. And still they, you know, the GM Buddy Nix, with the cooperation of the coaching staff, tried to add a couple of pieces. They tried to get bigger, and they did. And Scott Chandler was part of that move. I think he was signed in the first week of December last year when he was out on the street after being cut by Dallas. And, you know, they have to pay him for a month or so. They have to get him on the roster, get him around the complex as much as they could during the lockout, and then build with him. And he's done a good job. He's a big, wide body, 6'7" tall, hard to get around, a little bit like my friend Rob Gronkowski up there. Mm-hmm. I think Gronkowski's probably a better athlete than Scott Chandler, but just the size alone and the wingspan make him a formidable target. And as I said, he's already got three touchdowns this year.
Well, I mean, I think the big question people are going to be wondering is how do most defenses, but how did this week, obviously, does the Bills defense, quote unquote, contain this high powered Patriot offense? How do they slow them down?
I don't know.
Can they?
I don't know. Nobody has yet. You know, the Bills defense struggled against Oakland last Sunday, and the Raiders put up a lot of points, 35 points against Buffalo last Sunday. I don't know. I don't know how they slow them down. I think pressure is the key. I was in that locker room today asking a couple of the defensive players, I was asking about the Super Bowl, 3 years ago when the Giants beat him and seemed to do a pretty good job of getting in Brady's face. Is that the template? Is that what you use? I don't know. Nobody, if they have the answers, they're not telling me on Wednesday before the game. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And the other thing is, I'm one to think, you know, every year is different. I'm not a big guy to talk about trends and all that stuff and winning streaks, but I do remember the Patriots, how they struggled for many years before 1985 in Miami, losing 16 in a row. Why is it that the Buffalo Bills at home have struggled so mightily against the Patriots, but when they come here, for the most part, been pretty competitive? That's kind of baffling.
I know. It is a 15-game losing streak, third longest streak from one team over another in NFL history, and the Bills were involved in, I believe, the longest, the 20-game streak to the Dolphins in the 70s. I mean, the simple answer is the Patriots have been good and the Bills have been bad for most of those, you know, seven, almost 8 years now. Interesting comment, because as you might expect, over those 8 years since the last time the Bills beat New England, the Buffalo roster, I think there's only one or two players, Chris Kelsey, maybe Brian Moorman. I don't know if Lindell, the kicker, was around. Only a couple of players were on the roster then. But even I talked to one of the younger guys on the Bills, David Nelson, a second-year wide receiver, and he said, "Well, you had nothing to do with the streak, right? This doesn't mean much to you." And he goes, "Every player in this locker room owns that streak. We have to own it. We have to do something about it. We have to stop it." I thought it was kind of refreshing to hear the young guys, accept ownership on behalf of the franchise for what's been nothing less than an embarrassment to lose 15 straight to a division rival. Will it end this Sunday? I don't know. I think these guys seem determined to try to put an end to it, but it's not going to be easy.
And I'm wondering, I mean, as an NFL professional player, I mean, everybody's going to, you know, they know they have to win. Not that they have to win. They know they have to say all the right things because they want to, as Herman, play to win the games, all that stuff. But I do think this is one of those occasions, only because it's so early in the season, that the Bills can hang tough here. And kind of be respectable. I think that will be one of those rare occasions that even if they lose but keep it respectable, will go a long way for their psyche for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't think they would accept a moral victory in any case. As you mentioned earlier, They have had a couple of close calls with New England. I think one thing that's happened through these first couple of weeks, and the season is still very young, it's a Buffalo team that is playing with a lot of confidence right now, and they went out in week one and really dominated Kansas City. I mean, they put up 41 points and seemed to score at will and did a great job defensively, and there's that in their background. And then this past week to come from 18 points down and to trade punches in the fourth quarter with Oakland back and forth the way they did. They have that now in their resume. And I think all of that means that it'll be a Bills team that's pretty confident that, you know, they can play with anybody. They can overcome adversity. They can play well when, you know, they're capable. Whether or not they do it is another question, but I think they're feeling pretty good about themselves and I get the sense they want to test themselves against the team that they consider their biggest nemesis.
And dare I say, this might be the biggest game in Buffalo in, seven years?
Yeah. I mean, the 04 season was the last time the Bills were contenders. They went into the final regular season game in 04 with a chance to beat the Steelers and get a playoff berth, and they failed. So what's that, 04? That's seven years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably this is the biggest game. I mean, it's an early season game, but probably the most meaningful game since then, the finale in 04.
And, you know, I know what kind of fan support they have up there. And usually, actually, around, it's usually a pretty good, New England contingency that makes its way up, that way for that game. So, I mean, it's always going to be a lot of fun. I think the weather's going to cooperate. I think it's going to be decent. There's not going to be any snow, though you never know where you are.
But, no, will not be snow. I guarantee that. I think I saw an early forecast today that said it should be a nice day, Sunday. And it's a great atmosphere. It's a lot like, you know, the stadium in Foxborough, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a, I love broadcasting games in Foxborough because I love the atmosphere there. It reminds me of Buffalo. It's noisy and partisan, and it's almost like going to a big-time college game, and I think you'll get that sense here this Sunday, too.
All right, Murph, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, and look forward to it. My prediction is I think it may stay competitive for a while. I just think the Patriots are too – they just got too many weapons in the end. But I do think I think it's not going to be 50-10 or anything like that. I think the Bills keep it respectable, somewhat respectable. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game.
I hope you're right. Thanks, Pete.
All right, my friend, take care.
See you
That's
later.
John Murphy, for the play-by-play man for the Buffalo Bills. He's been there a while. So – we'll get it. That was his take on it, and it is going to be interesting. All I'm just saying is that you got to look at the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs of what the high-powered offensive numbers they've accomplished. Like I said, I was much more impressed, obviously, with the Raider game. They scored five straight touchdowns on five straight possessions. I can't remember last time they did that. It was maybe that crazy game against Houston, the old Houston Oilers back in the day, where the Oilers jumped out to that, 35-3 lead and lost 38-35. That's when Kelly got hurt and Reich came in and did the job. But I'm just looking at the matchups, and I don't see it. I think the Bills will not get killed by 40 or anything like that because it's happened in the past. Or 36. I think they lost 56-10 one year back in 07. But I just think this is one of the games. It may be close for a quarter and a half or so, but the Patriots have too much talent. They're going to pull away in the end. I'll give all the scores and all that stuff tomorrow. But you never know. I mean, you never know. And what you have to worry about with a team like the Buffalo Bills is this is like going to be their Super Bowl, one of them. They've got nothing to lose here. They're going to pull out all the stops. And the Patriots can, it's a kind of game, even though they're down 21-3 last week to Oakland, we saw the Bills have some heart and come back, but it's going to be tough if they give up a couple of early scores to the Patriots on turnovers like they did late last year. Not early, but late last year. It could be a long day for them because it's just bad. For whatever reason, bad things happen to the Bills in Buffalo when they play the Patriots. It's been that way for a while. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And let's head to Web Radio and see. Tiffany says in Wisconsin, hi, Pete. Sanchez isn't throwing for over 300 yards per game. He's barely throwing for 200 yards per game with that supposed deep threat and former inmate Plaxico. Sanchez is pathetic. I'm hoping for an upset special in Oakland. Regards, Tiff in Wisconsin. She's put the headline, sorry, I'm wrong, because I mentioned. Well, no, Tiff, I said half the NFL in week one, and I'm not sure what it was in week two, but it was close, threw for 300 yards. And yes, I know Sanchez did not look good at all. He looked okay in the Dallas game. And he didn't look good. I didn't think he looked very good at all in the Jacksonville game. I mean, that game was awful. Yeah, and that game was a lot closer than the score was. The Jaguars just stink. And now Gabbard's going to start for them. Lots to talk about. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Let me get one more before we head to the break here, our first break. Let's see. This is Sean from Waltham. Hey, Pete, great to hear you again. I didn't know you were on here. I couldn't agree with you more. My buddies and I have been going to Buffalo for the game every year since 2003, and the Pats smoked them every single year. It's going to be cute to see all the Bills fans all pumped up for this game just for it to be over at halftime like every other year. Well, Sean, you might be right, but as I say, I try not to go with trends. But it's hard in this case here because they have just been so dominant every year in Buffalo. It's not like, they've beaten San Diego now, I think, 5 out of 6. And they played San Diego a lot the last few years, but it's still not a divisional game. And I do sometimes think you get more of a sense of the divisional game because you know the team better. And the Patriots haven't faced a 2-0 Bills team in a long time. So maybe it will be a little bit more competitive. I just don't see it in the end being competitive. You know, Patriots win, I think, comfortably by a couple of touchdowns. But more on that tomorrow with the scores and all that. Let's see. Fat Pat said, "Sup, Pete? I hear you keep saying that we slaughtered the Bills in their place over the last couple of years, but those games all come late in the season. The Bills are more known for having that early season surge than they completely crap out. Well, not last year, they're 0-8. This time around, it's week 3, so we'll see what will overpower what in the sense of our streak in Buffalo versus the Bills' yearly burst. What I'm trying to say is this game may not be as big as the Pats blow as you may think." Well, as I just said, maybe I said a couple of touchdowns. I didn't say they're going to win 56-10. I'm saying maybe, probably 14 points, somewhere around there. I see this being similar to 38-30 game in Foxborough last year. Hopefully not, though. I've got a busy Sunday coming up, so I hope the Pats can put up 38 before halftime. Thanks for reading. Bye-bye. Oh, no, you might be right. That's what I brought up last year. I said, you know, the Bills were Jekyll and Hyde last year here. I mean, they played a damn good game here. I think they had the lead in the second half, if I remember correctly. And the Patriots forced a couple turnovers. And that was kind of a sloppy game the Patriots played that year. And people started to panic right off the bat because of that game and this, that, and the other. I kept saying it's early. So, you're right. I mean, you're right, Fat Pat. It could be a 38-30 type of game because it's early in the season. You might be right. And the Bills are playing with, confidence that we have not seen on this team in 6 or 7 years. But it's still the Oakland Raiders and it's still the Kansas City Chiefs, and I can't get those two games out of my head. I'm not saying they couldn't have won or beaten other teams that week, but, you know, if the Packers are up 21-3 or the Patriots or New Orleans or San Diego, are they coming back against those teams? I don't know. And the Raiders on the road. Yeah, I mean, you might be right. You might be right. Only time will tell. I just, you know, I think I'm pretty good when I'm analyzing this team and how they play in different venues and somewhat can't get every game right, but I'm pretty close. I mean, no one got the Cleveland game right last year, and I certainly didn't think they were going to lose to the Jets in the playoffs. You know, but if you go back and listen to the tapes last year from different games and when they went into Pittsburgh last year after Cleveland, everybody thought they were going to lose, and I kept telling everybody it's going to be a 10-point Patriot win and more, just looking at the matchups and everything else. And that, I mean, I look at the entire big picture when I stand by what I say, and I just think the Patriots in the end win this game by a couple of touchdowns. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to be competitive for some of the game. I think it will be. But in the end, it's just too many weapons for this Bills team. But we shall see. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Got a lot of Facebook messages to read, more web mail to read as well, and your phone calls. Also, Patriots injury report is out real quick before we go to break. And here it is. Again, you know that Kopi and Myron Pryor put on injured reserve, so this season, unfortunately, is over. Arrington, Chung, Hernandez, Vollmer, and Wright did not participate today. And limited participation, Rozzie Dowling, Dan Gronkowski, Gary Guyton, Mayo, Zoltan Mesko, Taylor Price, Ryan Wendell. And full participation, Josh Barrett, Lee Bodden, and Dane Fletcher. That's a good sign there, at least. We shall see. Back with more of the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
I need you. What? If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
I always feel like that bumper music, I should be on a beach somewhere, sunning myself. How's that for a disturbing thought? Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. People don't understand my sexuality. That's a problem. Don't you remember that? Eddie Murphy in Trading Places. He's in the bar. You have to really listen to that scene, what Eddie Murphy says. See, little things like set me up. If you got to listen to that scene, you got to pay attention because a lot of people are talking, but it is absolutely hysterical. He's got all those girls around him at the bar. And he's just making stuff up and rambling on when he first gets the money. And it is just, it's really funny. Anyway, email me, webradiopatriots.com, Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We've got some locker room sound coming up too. First couple more emails. Chad says, "Hello, Pete. I'm a bit disappointed Warren wasn't brought back to Foxborough, but I'm excited for this week's matchup. Hernandez out. We might see some more Ocho and perhaps Price. I hope so, at least. Now, speaking on stopping, Now, speaking on stopping the Patriots offense, this core Patriots offense will be so hard to stop if anyone stays healthy. Not only can they tire out the opposing defense, but it also causes mismatches no matter what defense is thrown out against it. If you decide to set up a linebacker or another defensive player not in the line of scrimmage to blitz Brady, you're sacrificing huge coverage. That's why you end up not pressuring Brady. True. And only a couple teams lately have been able to pull it off. In 07, we saw the Giants do it, and we've seen the Jets do it a couple of times. But I'm not even sure those kind of DV, but the Patriots have even more weapons now when they're fully healthy. Maybe not this week with Hernandez out. So I agree with you. I think it makes it even, again, it makes it even more difficult. The other thing is, too, people, and I forgot to ask this to Murph when he was on, a Buffalo Bills play-by-play guy. But, and this is why people said, people emailed me yesterday about where was Danny Woodhead. And it's just one of those games where it's just one of those games where we didn't get a lot of touches and the law firm did. However, you go back last year, look what Woodhead did against Buffalo. I mean, he torched them in a couple of games. So I look for more Danny Woodhead this week, I would think, against the Buffalo Bills. Gene says, hi, Pete. Did you hear Rex Ryan on the radio saying that he did not need to prepare for Oakland and was available to help out the Bills in playing the Patriots? He also said he is the only one that knows how to beat the Patriots. My question to you is, do you think Al Davis has a radio and still knows how to turn it on? The article is in the local Oakland newspapers today. I have a feeling that Oakland coach Hugh Jackson might have gotten a call from Big Al saying, I don't care who wins the game, just make sure you have some Jets leaving the field on a stretcher. The Raiders might not be very good, but they have pride and play hard, especially when aggravated, and I think Rex might have wrote another check. Sanchez and the Jets will have to cash in Oakland. We can only hope the Jets' health insurance is paid up. Yeah, and this is where Rex Ryan to me is, and I know he's joking around. He probably means what he says. I know he's goofy. He's this big goofy jovial guy, but I just think stuff like that is really stupid. That's why I don't think Rex Ryan's act is going to cut it overall. I mean, it may work now, and he's doing okay. He still hasn't won anything. All right, he beat the Patriots a couple times. Okay, he hasn't won anything. He's coming second in the AFC Championship twice. Again, he hasn't won anything. Did I mention the Jets haven't won anything? I don't know if I mentioned the Jets haven't won anything in a long time. But I have to do the 1968 thing again. Did I mention the fact the Jets haven't won anything in a long time? So if Rex Ryan wants to, you know, keep doing that stuff and bumbling and making a fool out of himself, go ahead. I know some reporters around here think it's cute and it's funny. And I think Rex Ryan is good for the game. I do. It's nice to have different personalities. I mean, if everybody acted the same, it'd be a freaking boring world. It'd certainly be a boring sports world. So I'm glad Rex does what he does, you know. And I'm not saying he's some horrible coach. Obviously, he's not. Obviously, he's a good coach. He knows what he's doing for the most part. But this kind of stuff, I think, can come back and bite you in the butt pretty quick. So, hey, nothing would pleasure me more, well, for the most part, than having the Raiders win. And I don't care what they win by, a point. 2 points, 22 points, doesn't matter. I'd love to see that happen. But I'm not surprised. I am not surprised one freaking bit. Let's see. Yeah, as far as, and again, getting back to Chad about, yeah, I was kind of surprised Warren didn't come back either, Gerard Warren. You know, I thought he might be back here after week one. Certainly seemed like the right time. So something, Patriots must know something that we don't. You know, because they signed Landon Cohen, as John and I were talking about him. He's a little bit younger, and they signed cornerback Phillip Adams. So they must know something that we don't. Because I thought Gerard Warren would be back here. Tiffin, Wisconsin. And hey, Pete, don't forget to talk about Rex calling on the NFL to help the Jets defeat the Pats with his help. Yeah. Yes. Just got that. it's so pathetic. That it has to come to that. You know? Rex Ryan telling the NFL that he'd be happy to help out the Jets beat the Patriots. I mean, you know, doesn't need to look at film, doesn't need to, but I mean, that stuff I know he's, but I just think it sets a bad example for your team. Gene says, do you think Kevin can play the concurring hero music on the next lead-in? It seems to fire you up. Yeah, that's definitely, that's a given now here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriot.com. That's a given. Of course, I elaborate a tad with some of the lyrics, because you really can't understand the lyrics. It sounds like the original Omen in Latin, with the having some devil worship chant. But I, of course, make up my own devil worship chants about how much I hate the Jets. So that'll be brought up. That'll come up in the 5 o'clock hour. Tommy Curran also coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Let me get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Of course, you can check us out, 508-298-0398. We've got Tim. Is it Tim or Jim in Boston? Tim's in Boston up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show.
You got it, Pete.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, nice to hear you back on the radio, Pete.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for checking in. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just want to touch on the Pats D a little bit.
Yep.
I'm like a lot of people, like, you know, the national media. I think the Pats D is pretty good. I think the secondary is a work in progress. But these guys in the national media are just killing them. I was watching ESPN this morning, and they had Cordell Stewart on there saying the Pats secondary was terrible. Like, he was talking like it was the worst.
And that's why these guys are freaking idiots. You know what, though? You know what you don't hear? This is amazing, because I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know who's more of an idiot. I've heard did you see Michael Irvin last Sunday on NFL Network was saying the only reason the Patriots will win is because they'll dink and dunk their way to a win over San Diego. I mean, it's just those kind of statements are beyond stupid, ignorant, arrogant, dumb. Cordell Stewart, please. I mean, you know, he's going to say that constantly. He still hasn't got over losing to the Patriots. How many times he lost to him, and a couple of AFC champions, a couple of playoff games he's lost to him. But it doesn't make any sense. And you know what? I'm wondering, where are these people talking about the Packers defense? The Packers are giving up more points than the Patriots. Now, I don't hear any of the same concern about the Packers. And it amazes me. And you know what? And it's not a knock on, to me, I'm not knocking the Packers because of what I talked about yesterday, Tim. I don't know if you heard the show, but the evolution of the NFL right now. And when top teams are playing each other, when I'm talking about the Patriots and Chargers, San Diego and Patriots, Chargers, Green Bay and New Orleans, those four teams who I think are the clear cut class of the NFL. Sorry, Jet fans, but those four teams to me are the class of the NFL, particularly on offense. I do not expect when those teams play each other that somehow, some way, someone's going to hold somebody to 250 yards or less, or the scores are going to be anything different than they've been. High-scoring games, New Orleans and Green Bay. High-scoring games, Patriots and San Diego. And if those four teams flip-flop and playing each other, I don't care what defense is out there. The years and the days of the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens, those days are done in the NFL. There are too many good, skilled offensive players in the NFL today. And defenses, doesn't mean they're bad. People have to start adjusting their thinking about what they consider to be, quote-unquote, a championship defense. It's much different now than it was 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. Completely different. You there?
Yeah, Peter, man. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I understand. And another thing I want to touch on is that I was happy to see in the fourth quarter how the Pats defense played. It kind of reminded me of the teams like 2002 through 2006, where they would, you know, in the fourth quarter, they would really, you know, they would tighten up and they would cause the turnovers. It, you know, in comparison to the, you know, the 2007 till last year, where it was always the offense. It seems like it was always the offense were the last ones on the field.
Yeah, I mean, look, they make it, they're a big play defense. You know, that's what they do. And the other numbers, and this is the other numbers the national media never talks about. They want to focus on stupid fantasy football net yardage numbers on defense. It, to me, net yardage on defense, Tim, is the most irrelevant stat for the most part there is.
Oh, it's no question.
Because, as I've said in the past, and I bring up to you the comparison again, the Patriots last year had the third worst, worst third down defense in the NFL, and they had arguably the 25th net yardage, what they really ranked, 25th worst defense in the NFL, and the Jets were third. Okay, but when you go to points allowed, Patriots gave up 19.6 a year, the Jets gave up 19. So what the hell do net yardage stats really matter? I don't care about net yardage stats. They got to factor in. People don't want to factor in the turnovers because they assume they're never going to happen. But this team, that's what they do. It's been consistent now. They come up big. They make big plays. So when you look at the overall scheme of things, if they're tied for eighth in points allowed last year, the Patriots were, and they're ranked according to, you know, the numbers that ESPN cares about, is they're ranked, you know, 25th in overall defense. I could care less what they're ranked overall in defense. I know in points allowed that they're in the top 10, and that's enough for me. I don't have to sit there, considering the games they were involved in last year, where they're up by 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns in many of those games. Of course the net yards is going to be bad against them because they're playing zone the rest of the way, and they know they're giving up garbage touchdowns left and right just so teams can run out the clock. And they fail to look at those numbers on ESPN, many of those guys. It's the same thing last week with the Packers and Carolina. I'm sure you probably watched some of that game on Red Zone. Did you really think the Packers were in danger of losing that game last week?
Never. It was a joke.
No, never. And they're down 13-0, and I knew they'd win. I mean, it got a little close at the end, but that game, they could have won that game by 3 touchdowns easily because they're a great team. They have a great offensive team, and Cam Newton has played a lot better than a typical rookie would. You know, pretty good offense. We know what New Orleans offense can do. So I don't fault the Packers because they've given up more points than the Patriots. I don't think they have a bad defense at all. I think you just have to take each game individually, but instead you get the overhyped idiots in the national and some of the local media, and they just want to spew this crap all the time about net yardage. I could care less. Even right now, the Patriots points allowed are 14th. They're last, dead last in net yardage defense, but they're 14th in points allowed. Not that 14th is anything great. It's only 2 games. But still, it just goes to show you the contrast. What does net yardage really mean?
Yeah.
Not a whole hell of a lot.
A lot of credit goes to the red zone defense, too. They stuffed that offense, the same offense that Mike Tolbert had 3 touchdowns the week before. Nobody mentioned that.
Well, they did. And I mentioned it the last yesterday and, of course, today. And I mean, and you know, you have to factor in. I mean, McCourty did a great job when Mayo stopped. And McCourty's the one that caused that for Mayo to come in and get to Tolbert. I mean, that was all McCourty on that play. And people are crapping all over McCourty early because he's gone up against 2 gigantic receivers in Marshall and Jackson. And all of a sudden, now that's going to be some trend. Now, can he play better? Of course he can play better. But I don't think he's played as piss poor as so many people are talking about. I just don't. I think you've got to factor in the receivers, and in San Diego's case, you know, going up against a great quarterback and a great offense, and they shut Gates down. So the fact that Jackson got is a career-high 10 catches, 174 yards, I don't care because they shut down Gates. He was only thrown to once the entire game. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. And they win by 14 points against a damn good team in the San Diego Chargers, and there's still people that want to put this black and white paintbrush on them that, you know, it's so frustrating, Tim, because people act like it's either pass or fail. There's no gray area. There's a lot of gray area in the NFL.
Yeah, and as a fan that, you know, that's watched them, I feel really good about this at the secondary. I like the draft pick Dowling.
Yep.
I like McCourty. His name escaped me. He's wearing 31.
Sergio Brown. Sergio Brown.
I'm excited. You know, we got Lee Bowden back, and I think it's gonna be. I mean, as much as people are saying it's a work in progress, I think it's strong now, and it's gonna get stronger.
It just cracks me up. I want to know where all this hard hitting, ripping type analysis is on the Packers defense. They've given up 12 more points than the Patriots have so far, yet all anybody wants to talk about is the Patriots defense. What about the Pat? And again, and they'd be wrong to do the same thing to the Packers, by the way. Absolutely dead wrong to do it to them as well. I just find it funny that it's a piling on the Patriots with their defense and the Packers somehow escape scot-free. You know, it cracks me up.
yeah. I think it's typical. It's been typical the past few years. This team's, I mean, I don't want to sound like too much of a home, but the team's offense is so incredible that they have nothing to pick on with the offense, so they have to look for something else.
Sure, yeah, and the problem is there's so many people, media and fans alike, they think if you don't win 38-10 every week that it's a failed game. Well, it's just the way the NFL is completely different now. The yardage numbers are totally different now. You're not going to have very few times, with very few exceptions, unless you're the Chiefs, like playing the Lions. Very few exceptions are you not going to be able to muster up close to 300 yards a game. There's too many good skilled players out there. There just are. You know, and they're bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been before. And I was saying, Tim, this week, I think Parcells nailed it on Sunday in his analysis. He said, look, it's a, we all know it's a passing league now, which automatically to me means the points are going to go up and the yard, it's going to be just more difficult to stop. But so many of these young quarterbacks are learning in high school, even someone below that in junior high, when they get to college, they are all set and ready and prepared for these spread offenses much more so than they were 10, 15 years ago. I think that's a big reason as to why the scoring is going to be much more higher and the defense is just not going to look as good. I don't care who you are anymore. It's just too tough. The offenses are too good.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, Pat, you're right. Pat's right. I think a good example of that is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, the guy's not the most talented quarterback, but if you look at his, I mean, you know, I know stats don't mean much, but if you look at his stats, and the guy looks like all world, you know.
Yeah. Well, and look, I mean, it helps when you have right now the leading rusher in the NFL and Freddie Jackson. That helps, and certainly Fitzpatrick has cut down on his mistakes. And Chandler's having a nice year. Jones and Johnson at the receivers, that they're doing well. And they've shown some heart. They've shown some guts. They were down by 18. They were down by 3 touchdowns on Sunday and came back and won. They scored 5 straight times, 5 straight touchdowns on 5 straight possessions. So, you know, that shows me a little something. But I just, you know, for them, I think this game will be competitive for a while, but the Patriots pull away by a couple touchdowns in the end.
I agree with that. Yeah, it'll be. I think it'll be better than some of the past Buffalo Pats games where the Pats just crush them. But I think you're right. I think it'll be similar to the game last week with although. The Buffalo's not as good as San Diego, but I think it'll be a similar type game, you know?
Yeah. All right, Tim, I got to run. Thanks for the call, my friend.
All right, thanks, Pete.
Appreciate it. That's Tim in Boston. Thanks a lot for checking in. Quick break. Email me at webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Karen says he'll graciously allow me 10 minutes with him at 5 o'clock, you son of a gun. I'll give you. You can be on for 11 minutes, and you'll like it. Anyway, Tommy Curran coming up next here on the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with 2 savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get 2 Bacon McDoubles or 2 large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Go Raiders!
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
What a tool he is. What a tool. You can have him. I know he's good for the game. He is good for the game. He's good for us. Good for shows like this. But you can have him, New York. You can have him. You're never going to win a championship with him. Good luck. Good luck. Because that stuff will backfire on you. Anyway, welcome back. Second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Going to check in with CSN NE's Tom Curran in just a couple of minutes. Get his take. He had some great stuff. He does some great stuff on Comcast with his Quick Slant show and as a guest on the shows at night with the boys. And he's a very funny guy, very entertaining. Worked with him for many years on the radio. And he's a good friend. Good guy. And doesn't take himself too seriously, which one of the few that does not. It's very good, very good. Tiffany says, once again, the worst thing about the supposed NFL analysts and their false concern for the Patriots' defense, for example, Greenberg on Mike and Mike talked about his concern for the Patriots' secondary. Really? The Jets shill and apologist. It seems like everyone knows the Patriots are the best team, so they're going after the area of the team that is supposedly their weakness. Their false concern, which only masks their contempt for the Patriots and our coach, is utterly annoying and phony. They don't have their precious Peyton, so they have to talk about something. This issue has just struck a nerve with me, so I'm done for the day. I will holler tomorrow. Thanks, Tiffany. You can holler anytime. Always very insightful. And you're right. You're absolutely right. All I'm saying is, I haven't watched wall-to-wall ESPN. I got better things to do with my life, but I watch a lot of these shows. I watch the NFL Network. And with the exception of a little blip on one of those stupid ESPN game shows that they do that, you know, in the middle of the day where they have fans, blah, blah, blah. The only thing I ever saw was, are people concerned about the Packers defense, and they had Lakers either 54% of concern or 64. I was like 64% of concern. That's it. And again, I think it's wrong to sit here and say anything all that negative about the Packers defense either, even though they've given up 12 more points than the Patriots. What I would like to know is, how come on a national level, no one's talking about the Packers secondary and the Packers defense? That's what I want to know. They've given up more points than the Patriots have this year. You know, they almost lost the first game. Again, it wasn't for a bad call by Peyton at the 1 yard line. And yeah, I mean, Green Bay defense came up, made the play they had to. I mean, another, you know, but I just didn't expect a run up the gut to end the game with a highly offensive team, touted team like New Orleans. Nor did I expect it earlier in that game, a couple Thursdays ago, you know, on, I think they were on the 9 yard line or 10 yard line and it was 4th and inches and they ran the ball up the gut and was stopped. I just thought it was bad coaching there that cost them the game, those two plays. We talk about all the time, 2, 3, 4 plays a game can cost you. So, you know, I don't want to even hear about the Patriots. And again, they're already caught up on the net yardage stuff. Patriots 14th in points allowed this year, but dead last in net yardage. Who cares? I don't care about net yardage. I don't care. I see some good things. No, look, we're way early in the season for any defense, so like, we just have to take a big, giant step back. But I see a lot more positives with the defense than negatives. I don't give a goddamn about net yardage. For the most part, it is the most irrelevant stat in football. And I don't know when people are going to get through their freaking heads. It's not a big deal. It really isn't. It's the red zone stats and the turnovers and points allowed. That's where it's at, people, whether you want to admit it or not. I know it makes good copy to write about the other stuff, but those who get that carried away with it, you know, you're not getting it, and you're not seeing the evolution of the NFL, because there's going to be lots of points and lots of yards and lots of good and great teams like the Patriots, like the Packers, like the Chargers in New Orleans, that when they play highly touted offensive teams like those four I just mentioned, it's going to be tough. You're not going to sit there and stop teams like that. What's going on, Kev?
You've gone international, Pete.
I have.
Check out the Ace Ticket Hotline and see where this next call is from.
Well, I got a call from France yesterday. Oh, all right. Well, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Again, 508-298-0398. Is it Kino? Kino in Nassau in the Bahamas. Hey, Kino.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
All is good.
All is fantastic. I wish I was where you are now, but how you doing?
I'm right there, you know, in the rain, enjoying your show right now.
You're in the rain?
Oh, yes, it's raining down there.
Oh, boy. But no tropical storms in the area, right? Nothing like that?
No, just a little bit of rain. Nothing serious, you know.
Oh, that's okay. So what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, my question to you is concerning the 2012 draft. If you was the owner or GM, would you go wide receiver or defensive end for the next year draft?
Next year's draft?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to get through week three. You want to talk about next year's draft?
No, because, I mean, I looking at the team, I just feel as though we need an all-star defensive end or a linebacker. You know, and plus we need a wide receiver on the other end.
A wide receiver. Now, where would this wide receiver play?
Oh,
In place of who?
Pardon me?
Who would he play in place of?
I don't think Deion Branch is going to last too long. I give him till the end of the season.
Who's not going to last too long?
Deion Branch.
Oh, Deion Branch.
I just have this gut feeling he's going to get hurt, or he's just not going to play to his full potential.
Okay, now what if people like what about guys like Matthew Slater and maybe even a Taylor Price that they already have who are waiting in the wings here, who are I think pretty good talents. We just haven't been able to see a lot of them because of the depth chart and the way, you know, you got Welker, you got Branch, you got Ocho Cinco, and you got Edelman. I mean, that's a tough lineup to crack.
People keep on talking about this depth chart. They don't have a chance to play because they're so deep. But Rasai Dooling, he is a rookie cornerback, and just like that, he's starting. He's a starter because he's good. And Slater and those other guys, they're okay wide receivers, but they're not superstars like a Randy Moss or...
Rasai Dooling is not starting at cornerback. He's playing in nickel formations, and he's playing out there when they're playing nickel and dime, you know, five and six running defensive backs. McCourty and Bodden are your starting cornerbacks. But, I mean, Rasai's played very well, but he's out there, you know, he may be out there a lot more against teams like San Diego because of their high-powered offense, but he's not a star. He's not a star. I mean, he played a lot on Sunday. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's the way the game went. To say he was a superstar. I mean, that's a little much, isn't it?
Yeah, I understand, but I'm excited about Vince Wilfork and Albert Ainsworth and even Mayo and Brandon Spike.
Well, I'd like to see Spike.
I'm not really too enthused with it. I think we need to look at that come next year draft.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they will, but I'm saying it's still only week two. I said let's wait and see what Carter and Haynesworth and Will Fork and Sean Ellis and the rest of the boys can do. I mean, that's a bad loss today. Myron Pryor going on injured reserve. He's out for the year. But was there a more beautiful play you've ever seen than Will Fork intercepting that pass on Sunday?
Oh man, I thought I was dreaming. I thought I was dreaming when I watched that game last week Sunday.
See, if I were where you were, wherever I was, I don't know where you work or what you do, but I would have run out onto the beach and into the water and just done cartwheels into the water. I mean, that was the most beautiful play I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but I'm on the same page as you. I don't get when people try to like make a clown of us on our defense. I mean, for these past two games, we just shutting these teams down and we lead the first, second, third, and fourth quarter. And I just don't get how people could just make fun of our defense, you know?
Yeah, well, the problem is, you know, people like Cordell Stewart, who I have just about zero respect for as far as when he's talking about the Patriots, I don't care what he says, you know?
Yeah.
And up until recently, you know, Marshall Faulk has been, he's admitted it. He's hated the Patriots. I mean, last year he finally started to come around a little bit, and he's been better this year, you know, being a little bit more objective. I mean, that's not to say you can't criticize the defense. That's not what I'm saying. But
yeah.
People are painting this big brush like they're just a bunch of stiffs. And all I'm saying is Green Bay's given up more points so far, and no one's talking about them. No one's talking about that defense. And to me, this Patriots team it has a lot of skilled players on it. They make a lot of big plays. They come up with a lot of turnovers, and people seem to not want to factor that in.
If I'm not correct, I believe we beat Green Bay last year in the season.
They did.
The regular season.
They did, but Rodgers didn't play in that game, and Flynn played in that game. The Patriots probably played one of the worst games of the year, and they still won the game. That was the game Conley on the kickoff for the big guy, 67 yards rumbling in for a touchdown, but. You know, the mentality, when a team like Green Bay loses a starting quarterback in a game, you know that he's not going to play. It does something. I mean, I'm sure the Patriots, even though they should be just as excited and just as psyched, you kind of get a letdown. You know, you kind of know you might be able to kind of be a little complacent, even though you shouldn't be in the NFL. But that's the way they played last year. And I have a feeling, if Rodgers played that game, that it would have been, the Green Bay might have won that game. However, the Patriots also might have, you know, rose up to the occasion because knowing that they're playing one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So you never know. But the Patriots did beat them last year.
For the offensive line, are you concerned about the center position?
Right now, well, Conley did a very good job last week. And, you know, I remember when Kopi was out a few years ago and Hochstein filled in for him admirably. And I believe they got to the Super Bowl. I think they won it with him at center. Might have been 04.
Oh.
It might have been 04. So, I mean, right now, I think Conley, certainly so far in week one, he's doing the job. Week two, he's doing the job. So, but thanks a lot for the call, my friend. Appreciate it. Calling from the Bahamas. Got a call from France yesterday. Calling from the Bahamas. Gene says, hi, Pete. Do you remember after the Patriots-Steelers AFC Championship game and Cordell Stewart interview after the game saying that the best team did not win today? Of course I did. Every time his face comes on the TV and he's trying to kiss up to the Patriots on screen, just like Tom Jackson, but off screen, hates the Patriots. Hey, ESPN, you wonder why your ratings are dropping. Pretty simple, guys. Get rid of these jerks and maybe we'll start watching again. They're so biased it makes my wife sick. Can't these knuckleheads do something else? Well, Cordell Stewart, I just don't put a lot of stock in, and that's why the Spygate thing for the Steelers is absolutely hysterical. Whenever they talk about that AFC Championship game, particularly in 01, when two of the touchdowns were scored by the Patriots on special teams on a punt return by Troy Brown on a blocked field goal. So that to me has always been the most amusing part. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Let's see, what else we got here? People are upset about,
I passed on a bit of news to you, Pete.
Yeah.
According to Mike Reese,
yeah. The
team's trying to protect themselves in the event Mesko can't punt on Sunday, and they worked out Matt Dodge and Jeremy Kapanos today.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Jeremy Kapanos. That makes sense. And again, in the injury report today, Zoltan was, sounds like a video game, doesn't it? Zoltan Mesko. He was limited at practice today. So, yeah, got to cover themselves a little bit here. Still waiting to hear from Tom Curran. He'll probably check in.
Still waiting
to hear. You try calling him? What's he doing?
I just tried, and I got voicemail. He's giving us the dodge.
No, he better not. I'll tell you what. I will torture him all day and all night if he blows me off. Anyway, let me read a couple of posts on Facebook here before we get back to web radio. And again, you can call the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Pete. This is from Frank. Pete, I got your iPodcast and listened a day later than aired and wanted to comment on your rant of the New England fans and the outlook of the defense, 920. And you're dead on. It seems most of these idiots don't watch the same games I do. You have to build a defense, and it takes time. Today on Boston.com, they were slamming Haynesworth for no presence in the San Diego game. Give him a break, and our secondary is well put together. Belichick's game plans often include allowing one aspect of the opponent's offense to shine while shutting down all others. With San Diego, it was Vince Jackson. He goes, I remember games where LT, I'm assuming LaDainian Tomlinson, ran all over us all game, but we won the game in the end. Also, please smack Adam Jones in the mouth and take over the postgame show. Talk about Mr. Negative. He complained about everything from the yards allowed, passing, D. McCourty, and even the first half of football, part one. I love his fantasy info, but would rather listen to Yanni than hear his show.
He's confused because he doesn't give fantasy info.
If he is like that. In short, he is like a toothache that never goes away. Thanks for letting me rant. Love your show and style, Pete. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm sure Adam does a fine job. And look, if we all said the same thing, it would be kind of boring, don't you think? But I don't know what I didn't hear it, so I can't comment on what he said. So I don't know how you complain about A Football Life Part 1. I don't understand how any negative.
I produced that show, and I'm pretty sure there wasn't much talk of it.
Yeah, so maybe he's thinking.
I don't know, and he definitely doesn't give fantasy info on the postgame show.
I'm going to blame Perillo. Why didn't Don blame Perillo?
Blame Perillo if you want.
Yeah, I'm blaming Perillo.
I mean, he might have touched on it at the end of the show, but we definitely spent most of the time talking about the victory.
Quick baseball note, in case you care, the Yankees beat the Tampa Bay Rays today in the first game of the doubleheader. So it's 2.5 for the Red Sox. Anyway, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That is the number to call here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Patriots.com is where you find me. It's the Pete Shepard Show. We do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tomorrow coming up in the first hour. Don't forget Brian Lowe, the Fantasy Football Lowdown. Get all your fantasy numbers right here. Nobody better than Brian. He's just fantastic. I can't wait to ask him about some of the up-and-comers, the Fitzpatricks and the
I'm Freddie, not the brightest guy in the world.
the Freddie Jacksons. But there's a lot of good stuff going on. A lot of good stuff. If you can, of course, you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Michael says, I hate meetings during the time of work. Have a great show. Michael's my number one big, huge, giant Packer fan. Also sent a link to me about a car salesman getting fired for wearing a Packer tie. Well, let's head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. And joining me, that's yours truly, Pete Shepard, here on the Pete Shepard Show, is the one and only CSNNE's Tom E. Curran. Hi, Tommy.
What is up, Peter?
What's up, my friend? I'll tell you what, not to kiss your bum, but I love your Quick Slant show. I got to tell you, the stuff you did the other day, late on Sunday night when I was watching the game again, and the first thing I said was, I swear to God, I said this. I said, Self, I hope Tommy does a breakdown, and I was hoping it would be Mayo, of that goal line stance where McCourty was such a big part of it, and lo and behold, there it was. I mean, fantastic job breaking that play down.
I tell you, he's unbelievable, Pete.
Kraft and Mayo, you know, go together.
He has been great because, and I mentioned this to the people at the office, I don't know if there's ever been a Patriots defensive player during the Bill Belichick tenure who sits up and stands at a waxboard or a whiteboard and diagrams what they were doing on defense. And I think that that's, you know, it's a great opportunity for people to see what goes into, you know, each defensive stop, stand, and everything else when he takes the marker out and shows us how to do it.
Well, you were down at I saw your stuff on Comcast this afternoon at 12. By the way, that's another great show. It's a great thing that Comcast does on noontime now is the Patriots Live show where you guys are all down here. You and Mike and Gary and Troy
yep.
Brown back in the studio.
Thank you.
It's great stuff. Honestly, it's must watch now on Wednesdays. But, I mean, you know, it seems to me, you know, not a lot of information coming out of the locker room, pretty much the same old stuff. But do you get a feel of, you know, how this team is, you know, what's going on in the locker rooms right now with these guys?
Well, it was a fairly quiet day, and generally, you know, the first day of preparation tends to be the quietest as they are starting to get into their game plan. But, you know, the feeling I get is they don't look at the Buffalo Bills as a team that they've beaten 15 consecutive times and is merely a paper tiger because they started the season 2-0. I think that they take the Bills fairly seriously, and, you know, they probably should, too. They've been explosive offensively, and when you look at all the guys that they've added defensively, there are Chris Kelce, Marcel Darius, Sean Merriman. There's some talent on that defensive side of the football for the Buffalo Bills that you have to deal with. And I know that the Oakland Raiders put up a bunch of points last week. I think that's going to go on all season long. A lot of teams are going to score heavy. But when you look at that team and the fact that there are a lot of young players there, Shane Gailey was saying this on the conference call, and so was Ryan Fitzpatrick, they don't have that same history of being beaten down by the Patriots. They might go in into this game with a lot to prove and show a lot of confidence, almost maybe in some ways, Pete, like the Detroit Lions did in the preseason game that they really outplayed New England.
Well, certainly, I feel that, you know, I was talking to John Murphy, the play-by-play guy for the Bills last hour, and I was talking about that. I said, you know, the one thing, you know, and he said Fitzpatrick did the same thing. They would not have won that game last week, last year against the Raiders. So they have some heart. They have some guts. And I think this is obviously going to be one of their, if not, I think it's going to be their Super Bowl type of game. Ian, and this may be one of those times for them. I still don't think the Bills are going to win, but it'll be one of those times for them, Tom, a rare instance in the NFL where I think a moral victory can go a long way for a team like the Buffalo Bills if they can keep it semi-respectable.
You know, and I'll take it further, Pete. I don't think it's beyond the complete realm of possibility that the Buffalo Bills can beat the Patriots on Sunday. Obviously, they'll be favored, and they deserve to be favored. But there are enough games in... Look, if you look at all the games the Patriots have played with the Dolphins over the last few years and all the games they've played with the Bills, the Dolphins have put up less resistance in many of them than the Bills have. And I know that the Bills never beat the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're a tougher matchup, and for whatever reason, I think they give you a generally more honest effort than the Miami Dolphins have. I think the Bills, as you pointed out, they might not just escape with a moral victory, though. They could, if the Patriots aren't fully on board here, and injury-wise, there are some concerns. If the Patriots aren't fully on board with everything that's going on, they could have, you know, a difficult game on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, what is interesting though, and I'm not one to like hop on trends and all that stuff, because I do think every season and every team, every year is different. But it is amazing, how in that stadium, I mean, the Bills for the most part have been competitive with the Patriots here in Foxborough. When those games get to Buffalo, they get annihilated. And I'm not saying that's going to happen on Sunday. I'm not going to say that's going to happen on Sunday, because this game is a little bit earlier on in the season in Buffalo than some of the ones in years past. But Buffalo has played much tougher here against New England than at home over the last, you know, 15 years. I find it interesting.
Yeah, which is really mystifying how that possibly could be, because, you know, obviously the home field advantage is critical in the NFL, and the fact that the Buffalo Bills don't play that way, and you, of course, know the Crown Field out there in Buffalo is always going to prop up Tom Brady, right, Pete?
Absolutely. Let me ask you, I want to talk about, I was bringing up this week about, there's two things nationally and somewhat locally that really bother me. And I've been saying this for the last couple of years now, and it's the stat of net yardage, which I think to me is one of the most overrated numbers you can ever get in football. And I say that, I know you know this, but I'm going to see if you, a couple of the reasons why, make 2 points and then I want to hear your thoughts on it. One, I really don't give a damn for the most part about net yardage, because it can be so deceiving. You get a team like the Patriots last year involved in so many blowouts and allowing so many garbage yards and garbage touchdowns, those numbers can be skewed. So while they may be dead last in third down defense, and while they might have been 25th overall, when you look at the real numbers that count, which is red zone offense, red zone defense, points allowed, they're sitting there tied for eighth or ninth at 19.6, while the Jets, with their great third-ranked defense, have given up only 0.6 less a game at 19. So those kind of numbers really bother me. That's how numbers can be skewed. And two, the way the evolution of the National Football League, to me, Tom, is happening, it is just going to be very difficult. The days of the 85 Bears or the 2000 Raiders or maybe the 90 Cowboys, those days of those defenses putting up those kind of numbers are over. There are way too many skilled offensive players, starting with high school now playing spread offenses in college that Parcells brought up. I just think it's going to be more difficult than ever for teams to come up with these great defenses. It's just not going to happen anymore. And I think people around the NFL who cover all these teams better take a step back and realize, you know, because a team like the Patriots can, you know, win 35-21 does not mean their defense sucks. Do you agree?
Are you done?
I'm done. For now.
I mean, I'm out here. I'm waiting for an opportunity. Come on. Put me in, coach.
You're in.
Let's get the first one. Net yards. I'm with you in some regards. But you also threw in some third down information there, too. And I'm going to disagree with you on that. Third down is third down. The Patriots had a difficult time getting off the field against the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers and their points allowed, you know and I know, mm-hmm. that the Chargers played a much better game. were much more productive than their point total showed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's their own stupidity that they weren't able to get more points, but the Patriots made some plays defensively. But you don't want to have teams fourth and goal at the one, period. They made a play on that. Awesome. However, I will say that in the Miami game, and that's why net yards is a ridiculous stat to put all your eggs in that basket, because Chad Henne was running for, you know, 59 yards. In that particular game, I think, 6 carries, 59 yards, and a lot of those were garbage numbers. So, and the passing numbers as well. So, you know and I know, there are games in which the total yards are going to be impacted. The Patriots put up bogus yards in the first two games. I don't think their offense right now looks better than it ever has by any stretch. They got more weapons. The tight ends have never looked this good. But I don't think the offense is playing at a level that we've never seen before, which seems to be what people think just based on the numbers. No, I totally disagree. I've seen it be way more seamless than this. I do agree with you completely, Pete, on the fact that offenses are so far ahead of defenses, and with the only way to address or narrow that gap would be some way for defenses to limit the explosiveness of the great athleticism on the outside. They're not going to be able to do that if they can't touch
them,
period.
I was making an analogy yesterday, and see if you think I'm totally off my rock or whatever. It's a baseball thing compared to football. I know I'm talking about, and you're my age, so back in the 70s and early 80s, and I compared this to what defense should be, when a major league pitcher had an ERA of like 3.3 or more, you were considered crappy. Now,
yeah.
If you have an ERA of 4, you're considered one of a very good, sometimes not elite, but you're a very good pitcher. And I look at NFL defenses the same way. The days of the Bears and the Ravens and some of the Cowboys and some other, you know, Miami's of the, you know, early 70s, those days are done. The game is it's a passing league now. And the evolution, like I said, I think because some of these kids are so highly touted, they started junior high school, college, playing all these incredible spread offenses. They are so much more prepared now in the NFL. And I just don't know if the defenses are ever going to catch up.
Well, I think that they will. And I'll note this and say it's just a fact, but not an indication that this will happen again. You remember, of course, 1984 in the early 80s was mm-hmm. the age of the San Diego Chargers.
Yep.
And 1984 was Dan Marino's 48 touchdown
sure.
passes and 5,084 passing yards.
Yep.
And the next year, the Chicago Bears emerged with an answer. I'm sure there will be an answer. And I think that you already see an effort to answer it down in Foxborough with, you know, an absolutely massive defensive line and bigger corners. That will be the next evolution, is to change the physical aspect of matchups. And, you know, players are going to want to play offense, but I think that we'll always see an evolution, and we'll always see the needle move back, and I think we'll see it over the next few weeks. That's the one thing I think with the Patriots, Pete, too, is you're going to see drastic, drastic improvement from the Patriots' defense as this season goes along.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. But I want to know why. Why do you think nationally? I mean, I know I have a good feeling why, but I sit there and I'm not ripping the Packers or the defense because I understand the what they play. But nobody's talking about the Packers have given 12 more points than the Patriots, and you know, and it's all somehow the Patriots defense has sucked, but the Packers are getting off scot free. I don't understand it because the Packers could have very easily lost that first game and were caught off guard a little bit by Cam Newton, who has not looked like a rookie so far. But still, the Packers have given up more points than the Patriots, 12 more points than the Patriots, and nobody's talking about it. Why?
Well, the closest challenger, I think the caveat to that is the closest challenger to Dan Marino's 5,084 yards ever was Drew Brees. And Drew Brees happened to be the guy that the Packers faced off with in the opening weekend when everybody was thirsty for football and wanting to see it. People saw what mm-hmm. the Packers did. People saw what the Saints did. And they were of a mind that, okay, we're not going to kill the Packers defense right here because they're going against Drew Brees. Now, I know that Cam Newton put up numbers on a 1 o'clock game when nobody was paying attention. So you're not going to have the same fixation on the shortcoming there. But
Wait a second. I disagree with you. When you say nobody was paying attention, I heard Mel Kiper and others use the word great and Cam Newton in the same sentence already, which I think is just ridiculous. But
well,
I think a lot, I mean, the hype.
I'm not talking about a guy who's addicted to college football.
No, I understand that. But Cam Newton's got a lot of hype, Tom, over the last couple of weeks. Come on.
What was the question? you ask me why aren't people as inflamed about the Packers defense as the Patriots. I just tried to give you a theoretical as to why.
Okay, I'm
at me.
You're yelling
I'm a good
at me.
Guy, you know. I know things.
You do. You got the gift, my friend. You got the gift.
Well, here's the one thing, too, about you know the Patriots. They got lit up by Chad Henne on national television just days after Drew Brees. I'm okay with them getting lit up, Patriots defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, nationally. It's flavor of the week stuff too, Pete.
Well,
you know that.
Well, I'm with it, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not sitting here ripping the Packers because I know when what I consider the four elite teams, where the Patriots, Packers, to me,
Ravens.
No, I don't consider them the four elite. I think New Orleans and San Diego are better. Those to me, at least on offense, I think those are the four top offensive teams in the league. And I think when they play each other, I don't give a damn what the defenses look like. There are going to be lots of points scored in those games. So it doesn't bother me that no matter what team is playing whom in that situation, there's going to be points scored. That's just the way it is.
You're exactly right. And I think that any team that plays the Patriots is going to put up ridiculous numbers. The reason, they know that they have to score every freaking time they touch the football. Every time. You open up your offense, you throw everything at them, you say, I'm trying to score 30 today. I'm not trying to keep this game in the teens because I know it can't be done. I got to go score 30. Because we know the stat, I believe, it's 10 straight regular season games in which the Patriots have scored 30 or more. You know you have to score. The only way to score is to throw absolute caution to the wind and try and do it. And you're going to see teams continue to put up numbers.
Let me just give you one more minute, as I know you're a very busy guy. You do like 8,000 shows, and
Can you turn up your mic? I'm driving.
Oh, really? All right, I'll turn up. Kevin can do that. Okay, Kevin can do that. Let me ask you about, we've seen, Copey in the past, been replaced by Russ Hochstein. The Patriots, I think won a Super Bowl that year with Hochstein, at center. I think, if I remember, was it 04? I can't remember. I could be wrong. Maybe it was the one they lost in 07, but
right.
I know.
That would be a Warren Sapp last at Russ Hochstein.
Yeah. Copey is, a huge loss, but certainly they have been through this before and have had pretty good success. I mean, Hochstein did a fantastic job, I thought, that year. And, it seems that Connolly, at least the first week, I mean, was pretty good. I mean, how much are they losing with Connolly at center?
Candidly, I don't think they're going to lose a lot. I think that they lose a lot of immeasurables in relations between Brady and Copen and the other offensive linemen. But I just don't think that strength, speed, talent-wise, the difference between Connolly and Copen is as great as it may have been 4 or 5 years ago. Yet Copen's had an excellent NFL career, but he's on the latter end of it at this point. And it's not that he wasn't a good center, it's just I just don't think the gap between a player like Dan Copen and Dan Connolly at this stage of Dan Copen's career is that significant.
All right, before I let you go, and thanks so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule, but give me your prediction on how they think the game's going to go.
Well, I think the biggest concern, Pete, is the check down routes that Ryan Fitzpatrick will try and complete to Fred Jackson. Through 2 weeks, the Patriots have allowed 21 passes to running backs. We've seen Matthews, we've seen Tolbert, we've seen Reggie Bush all be targeted and have success in the short passing game. When quarterbacks can't find stuff down the field after they've had their receivers clear the area, and we've seen those running backs be productive after the catch. The Patriots have two safeties who have casts on their right hand, makes tackling difficult. So that, to me, is a big, big factor in this game. I think the Bills coming out with some momentum is a big factor. I think the Patriots win 27-21, could be even a little closer than that, but it will be a one-score game.
Really? I will respectfully disagree and say it'll be a two-score game, but I think it will be a competitive game for a while. I will agree with you that much, my friend. And remember, you've spoken more on this program than you ever have in 4 hours at EEI. Trust me. With limited interruption.
I like it anyway. Everything's great. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks. We'll plug your shows. When are your shows on tomorrow night? I mean, you're on Comcast all the time, but when specifically?
We have Butch Slants will be on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, then it replays throughout the weekend. We have Gerard Mayo this week, and also Rodney Harrison is our weekly guest on the National Slant. He'll do a great job for us with a lot of fascinating input on a lot of different things. And it replays throughout the weekend, so please tune in.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, Pete, take care.
Thanks a lot. Tom E. Karn from Comcast Sport New England and Comcast Sportnet New England and just everywhere. He really does. He's one of the best, one of my favorite people in the business and just does a great job. He's funny as hell. And check out his stuff. It's a quick break here on Patriots.com and the Pete Shepard Show. Email me, webradio at Patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. We're back with more on the Pete Shepard Show right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepard.
And back here on the Pete Shepard Show, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. The show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Back to the phones we go. It's Sean out in Salt Lake, Utah. How you doing, Sean?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I wanted to touch on your little tirade about yards.
Yeah.
I agree with you 110%. I have another one. I was wondering what your opinion is.
Sure.
For me, the most worthless stat are sacks. Or not, I'm sorry, tackles. Because if somebody tackles someone, they're just doing their job. Now, if someone gets a tackle for no gain or a tackle for a loss, that should be a stat.
Well, a couple of things I have, because I actually like what you said at first, sacks. I think sometimes sacks can be an overrated stat, too. And sometimes there are teams won't get any sacks, but have put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and things like that don't show up in box scores sometimes. But I will address what you just said. You know, for many years, and even though Junior Seau is a great linebacker and great player, and Bob Sanders fits this category too, by the way, you know, there's a lot of guys I think that have padded their stats over the years. And I think a lot of people will say, even though Junior was very good here, but Junior's a lot of years in San Diego, as great as he was, I think got a lot of help, a lot of half tackles, a lot of piling on at the end and getting credit for it. I think Bob Sanders is another example of that over the last 4 or 5 years. I agree with you. I think that could be how. See, it depends where it is. Now, when you see a guy last year like Gerard Mayo, who All-Pro, who led the team, and so I think it's different when you got a talent like Mayo, and leading the team by so much. That's a different story. First of all, it's a good thing if your linebacker's leading your team in tackles. That means guys in your secondary are not, which is a good thing. There's a lot, because really, if you look at a box score, and if you ever see McCourty or Chung or Barrett or Bodden leading the team in tackles, probably not a good day, you know, for the Patriots, you know, or any other team if their secondary is leading the league in tackles. But for the overall point, I agree with you. I think a lot of guys pad their stats, but I think a lot of it is legitimate. I don't think it's as overblown as the net yardage stat, to put it that way. But it's a good point.
And on the whole McCourty thing with everybody hassling him,
yeah,
I think the biggest issue isn't McCourty. I think it's our safeties ain't in tune yet.
It's who?
Well, McCourty's, they've been throwing at McCourty.
Yeah.
And I don't think the issue is really McCourty. I think it's all the changes in our safeties.
Well,
and they're not used to playing together.
Well, I mean, look, I don't think McCourty has played great yet or even very good, but I don't think he's been as bad as a lot of people say. And I think you have to look at the matchups. He went up against two very big, strong guys and who have a lot of inches on him, and Marshall and Jackson, over the last couple of games. And, you know, those are two exceptional wide receivers, two of the best in the game. And not enough people are talking about how he was in on that 4th-and-1 play and caused Mayo to stop Tolbert on that 4th-and-1. You know, so he's doing some other good things, too. He nearly had an interception in the Miami game. You know, I mean, Marshall and Jackson both made a couple of tremendous catches that not a lot of receivers are going to make. Now, that doesn't mean McCourty played great. Far from it. And we've seen him play better. But it's just too early. Some of the heat that he's taken, I think, is ridiculous.
So where is New England, ranked in the red zone defense?
Right now, yesterday they were, it wasn't good because they're 72%. But they're 14th in points allowed right now at 22, and that's going to change. I mean, they went against, you know, in Miami, which I wasn't surprised that I picked Miami to score 24 points. And against a high-powered team like the Chargers, I think only giving up 21 points is damn good. You know, that's real good. And I just think, you know, you going up against, you know, against Buffalo and then the Raiders, I think you'll see better defensive efforts. I really do. And I know Buffalo is hot right now, but, you know, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't see Fitzpatrick like lighting up the Patriots and if he does, it'll be some garbage yards at the end after the Patriots are already ahead by a couple of touchdowns. But I expect the game to be somewhat competitive early on, but the Patriots are just they're way too talented to lose a game like this.
And I have a really bold prediction.
Go ahead.
New York's going to lose Sunday.
Well, did you see what Rex Ryan said today?
Yep.
I mean, isn't that awful?
They're going to lose the following week to Baltimore.
That's
New England's going to hand them their ass.
Well, three straight losses by the Jets, and I'll tell you what, I'd be sports orgasmic. It would be unbelievable. I mean, that would be fantastic. I hope it does. I mean, I just...
And I mean, honestly, I mean, it's not that far of a prediction. I mean, you saw what Baltimore did to the Steelers.
Yep, I also saw Baltimore last week against Tennessee.
Yeah, which something tells me somebody will lit a fire under their ass.
Yep.
So...
Well, they beat the Jets last year on opening night, so, you know, that was, you know, the Jets know they have, they're going to have their hands full of Baltimore. That's always going to be a hard, gritty, hard-fought game, low scoring, so we'll see. But, Sean, thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it, and call back soon. All right, we're going to let me just read a couple of emails, and then we're going to get a couple of locker room bits for you. Michael says, IP, what is the NFL going to do about the Carter penalty on what looked like a perfect form tackle, and are the Patriots going to pursue actions with the NFL? Great work over the years. You were way ahead of the curve with this team and Tom Brady. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. I talked about yesterday. The Carter penalty is just ridiculous. I mean, this is where Roger Goodell has got to do something here, because that's the way people have been taught since he played football. You know, that was a picture perfect textbook tackle, as you said, Michael. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. The NFL did put out that thing today about the soccer rule about stop flopping on defense, and you know, there could be fines, there could be suspensions, and they're already even talking about draft picks if it gets too ridiculous, which I love. So, Gene says, IP, can you explain to me why all the so-called NFL experts do these power rankings, keep putting the Patriots second to the Packers? I don't care about these experts. All I care about is the experts that put the money down, and Vegas have had the Patriots number one since the draft. I agree with you, Pete. Stats don't mean a damn thing. What really matters is the chemistry, and I can see that the chemistry building on this defense. You know, when the Pats are 15-0 going to the last game, those so-called experts will be saying it is wrong. What is wrong with the Patriots defense, and when are they going to fix it? Yeah, I mean, that'll probably happen. As far as the Vegas odds go, I mean, the Patriots and Packers have been tied. Most of them are either 2.5 or 3-1, you know, depending on what casino you look at or what you do. But they were, for the most part, it was the Patriots and Packers at 2.5 or 3-1 to win the Super Bowl. You know, they've pretty much been even. So that doesn't surprise me one bit. And the power rankings, why the Packers are ahead of them, because of the defending Super Bowl champions, you know, and that's, you know, until they lose, it probably will be. You know, I mean, again, it's just, that stuff is subjective. I don't care, you know, where power rankings are. You know, for year, I mean, I remember the Patriots and won 21 straight games. I think after they won 12 in a row, and they still weren't number one back in the day, you know, a couple of times. So I don't really bother with that stuff. All right, early today, first day of practice, and the locker room was open today, and Kev was down there, so spoke with a couple of players. Let's hear from Rob Gronkowski first.
I don't know yet. We start up practice later today, so I mean, whatever the coach's decisions are, wherever they want me to do, I gotta go out there and perform, do my job wherever they want me to go out, and I gotta just keep it going, just work hard out in practice, and whatever the role is, I gotta accept and take it on.
Are you seeing a different, even more pumped up, amped up Tom Brady in practice, in reflecting in his numbers so far this year?
I mean, he's always amped up. He's always out of practice going hard. So, I mean, everyone is. The team's always out there practicing hard. So, I mean, there's really no change. Really, he's always out there practicing hard, so you can't really tell the difference.
Maybe a bigger cheering section
this year
because you're in the
better World Cup. We'll see. I mean, I don't know who's going or anything, and I mean, I'm not even really worried about that. I mean, I know it's going to be a loud game because we're going to Buffalo. They're 2-0. We're 2-0. It's going to be a great loud game out there. So just got to be prepared for any situation.
Ticket requests haven't come out yet?
I told him to talk to Dan. Nah, I mean, not really worried about that. Just trying to go to the game and focus on the Buffalo Bills, not who's in the fans. I could care less who's out there. I'm just playing my game with our team here.
You got some big dudes on defense. How do you match up with them?
I mean, they definitely have a great defense. They got a lot of great players on the line. They got a good secondary, good linebacker core. So we just got to go out there and play tough. I mean, they're tough guys. You got to go out there and give it all you have. You can't be slacking.
What are you seeing from Sean Merriman on tape this year that the way they're using him, is it any different?
Any different from what?
The way he's played in San Diego.
I mean, he plays how he plays. I mean, I never played versus him before, so I couldn't really tell you, but he's a good player, and you got to give him all you got, to the just not just him, but the whole defense, because they're all good players, and we got to go out there prepared.
Well, that's Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, and maybe a little more, maybe see him more a lot this week. Maybe you don't. I mean, maybe it's more Chad Ochocinco. I have no idea what's in store, but I know the Patriots will put up points, and they'll put up more than the 27 Mr. Curran talked about. They're going to put up 40 in this one. You can mark that down. They're putting up 40. It's going to be one of those 40-21 type games. That's what it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be maybe competitive for a while, but they are going to pull away, in my opinion. Again, back to the locker room too, because Danny Woodhead, remember he was signed a week after, that week of the Buffalo game last year. I remember he had. I got to look up the first game he had. Touchdown. He had 42 yards, rushed for 42 yards on three carries. Remember, he had a couple of spectacular ones. I got to see what he did in the second game. I think it was even better. He had a touchdown, but he rushed for 42 yards on three carries and a touchdown, and had a 22 yard run, his first NFL touchdown in the Buffalo game last year, if you remember. And he just captured Patriot fans' hearts right there and then. So let's hear it from Danny Woodhead earlier today.
They're a great team, and we gotta prepare, you know, to the best of our abilities this week and make sure we're ready to go by game time.
What do you see from their defensive play? What jumps out at you when you're watching
them? I mean, they're all great players, and I think that's the thing that jumps out at you is they all know what to do, and they all do it well. So it makes it tough, and we just got to prepare every single day this week and make sure that we're ready for whatever may come. We really just try to do whatever the coach, you know, tells us to do. We're going to go out there and execute any play to the best of our abilities, and that's, I think, how it's always going to be. We got to work together on every single play, and you know, that's what everyone has to do, is their job, and hopefully the play is successful.
Danny, there's been so much talk, obviously, and rightfully so, about Brady. First two games, what are you seeing from him in practice in terms of the intensity? Is it the same? Is it even more amped up than this year than it has been, you know, like last year?
He's a great player, and it's Tom Brady, and I think he approaches every day the same, and I think that's how this team is. We try to approach every day the same, and we try to be the best we can be every day.
When there was one difficult moment, pass blocking for you, I forget who the defender was who led to a sack, mm-hmm. or at least a hit. What's the focus for you when you're pass blocking against a guy who's probably outweighs you 15, 16?
Well, to stop him. I mean, that's the goal, and you know, we got to get better at that every single day. At everything that I do, and that's something that I'll approach is every day I'm going to try to become a better player.
Is your mentality to do whatever it takes just to make sure that the quarterback is protected when you see a guy that may be 70 pounds heavier than you charging like a bull?
Right. I mean, every single play you want to do your job and do it to the best of your abilities, and that's how I approach every single play.
Everybody just do your job!
All right, it's Danny Wood, and you look at
the sounds just like Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the, and by the way, you know, the Bills last year, starting November 14th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The last 8 games of the season, they beat Detroit at home. They win at Cincinnati, big. They lose to the Steelers in overtime, 19-16. They lose at Minnesota. That was the only really bad loss besides the 38-14. They beat Cleveland. They win in Miami. So they're making a little progress. And the Patriots come in and absolutely destroy them at 34-3. And, again, every year is different. And then I talk about the Woodhead factor. And Danny in game two, Danny and the law firm were unbelievable last year in game two. I mean, they combined for 200. Danny had 93 yards rushing on 13 carries, a touchdown, including a long run of 29, and the law firm had Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had 19 attempts, 104 yards, no touchdowns, with a long of 15. Brady sucked He had only 15 of 27 for 140 yards. He did throw three touchdowns and no picks, but come on. No, honestly, though. But see, this is the, see, that's what can happen. You know? That's what can happen. And, you know, Danny Woodhead has done well, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has done well. So look out, look for the Patriot running game. Now, that was a game last year. Patriots routed Buffalo, and, you know, 34-3. And Brady had, you know, for him, mediocre numbers, 15 to 27, 140 yards and three touchdowns. See, that is why this game to me is you gotta be scared if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. That's a game last year where Tom Brady threw for 140 yards and they still won the game by 31 points. What does that tell you? Tells me the Bills are in trouble. Tells me the Bills are in trouble and that this little winning streak they're on against Oakland and Kansas City might be a big mirage. Again, every year different. I understand that. But those numbers are kind of funny to me. That Brady only passed for 140 yards and they still won the game by 31. Just something to think about, that's all. Just something to think about. You know, we all love numbers. Numbers are great, you know. But it is something to consider. So we'll see. I'll have all my predictions tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have Brian Lowe with a fantasy lowdown right here on Patriots.com in the first hour. And then we'll get into more with the Patriots and the Bills in the second hour. Still have time for some of your emails right here at WebRadioPatriots.com. WebRadioPatriots.com, or you can still Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Call me on the East Ticket Hotline. Still time, a little bit of time, 508-298-0398. That is the number to call. So I think, as time goes on here, I'm talking myself into more points by the Patriots, but I do think that was those interesting numbers, the second game in Buffalo. The first game here in Foxborough against the Bills, not surprised at all, you know, because they always seem to play tough here. For the most part, Bills have played, you know, some tough games here in Foxborough lately. But when they play the Patriots at home, a different story. I just don't consider Kansas City a football team, and the Raiders are, you know, think about it. I mean, if Jason Campbell is putting up, that's why I disagree with Tom as far as the score goes. If Jason Campbell's putting up 31, what are the Patriot offense going to put up? You know? It can be kind of scary. And do you think Buffalo's going to score 35 points against the Patriots? No. 17-20. Actually, you know what? I'll give them 21-24 because it could be 17 and they give a garbage touchdown at the end too. You know, this game easily 40-24, something like that. And a game that looks closer in the first half and probably will be before the Patriots pull away. But I think there's some interesting numbers. If you look deep inside the numbers of some of what the Raiders numbers, what they put up against. And last year, if you see some of the numbers at the late in the season in Buffalo, Tom Brady passing for only 140 yards and they still won by 31. And Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead torched this team last year in that second game. But some new faces on defense, as we talked about. But we shall see. My guess is at the end of the day, it'll be same old Bills against the Patriots, and they'll come out victorious. But that's why they play the games. That's why they play the games. What else is going on, Kev? Now, you're going to travel again this weekend, I hear, huh? So let me ask you something. When you're on a flight to Portland.
Yep.
How's that?
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant.
It
was direct, but I tell you what, we flew Air Alaska.
How was that?
And it wasn't pleasant.
How was the food?
I got to tell you what.
What'd you get for food?
A cookie and a bag of like mixed nuts.
A 12-hour flight.
A very small cookie.
That was on the flight. 6 hours? Five and a half?
It was six and change out there.
And that's direct.
Yeah. Now the airlines are skimping to try to save money. So they fly these small little 737s all the way across the country when it used to have a nice big 750.
Because why care about safety? You know why? I mean,
so you're jammed in there, and I'm in the middle seat, of course, with you know a guy to my left and a guy to my right, and I'm sitting in there, and
that's so ridiculous.
You can't even go to sleep because you're just so uncomfortable.
So ridiculous. Did they win?
They got killed 3-0. So it's a long way to go to get your butt whipped, as my dad would say.
Wow. And you get to travel again this weekend.
Yeah, this should be much better, though. I get to fly on Air Force One, if you will, with the team and go up to Buffalo and see the game. And should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. So I'll give you a report on Tuesday on the atmosphere around the stadium.
Absolutely.
And how loud it was.
Fantastic.
And all that stuff.
Beautiful. Quickly, before we get out of here, email from Doug in Texas. Hey, Pete, you mentioned issues with worthless stats defensively. Couldn't agree more. To quote Mark Twain, there are three kinds of lies. Lies, damned lies, and statistics. What if a team has great numbers in yards allowed but suck in the red zone? They think they're going to win as much when it matters, maybe, but I have to say the turnover ratio and big plays when they matter is what wins games. I couldn't agree more. As I mentioned yesterday, ask the 09 Saints if forced turnovers are important. Of course, I brought that up. I think the Saints in 09 were ranked either 24th or 23rd overall in defense. And I think that's the trend. That's the way it's going. That's why I don't get upset about the Patriots crazy. I don't get upset about the Packers at all, because even though the Packers are getting, and they should get a free pass. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. They played a highly touted team, offensive team in New Orleans. And, you know, Cam Newton's, playing out of his mind for the first couple of games here and played a damn good game. But the Packers made big plays when they had to on Sunday, and the Patriots made big plays all day on Sunday when they had to. So that stuff you have to factor in. I'm just tired of the
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
God almighty. God almighty. Well, they're calling for him in Indianapolis, right? They want to bring Brett Favre to Indianapolis. You know what? I wouldn't be shocked. Can you imagine? What would be great if he comes
in? Manny, that was some tight pants you got on.
He comes in right before they play the Patriots. That's Sunday night here, isn't it?
The Colts game is, yes, Sunday night.
Sunday night here.
December 4th here.
Here. And that game can't get flexed out, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I think it's too early for it to get flexed out.
Although it might be late enough, because I thought it was in November. I thought it was right around Thanksgiving they start doing it. So who knows?
Well, that would be interesting.
I never understand that damn rule anyway.
Brett Favre with the Indianapolis Colts. I would love to see that happen right before they play the Patriots. Fantastic. All right, got to get out of here. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock again with Brian Lowe and the Fantasy Football Lowdown from 4 to 5, and then more Patriots and more Patriots-Buffalo Bills talk. We'll do it live once again tomorrow from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday, everybody. And, again, thanks for all the emails, all the calls, all your support. I really appreciate it. I love you guys. And let's continue to make this one of the most entertaining sports shows on the planet. Talk to you tomorrow at 4, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.